Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, along with Travis Ryer. You can get all kinds of fine Alabama sports and SEC-related content at the Ryer on YouTube channel. Like it and subscribe it. We will get into this Alabama game, upcoming Indiana, Travis, a CFP quarterfinal at the Rose Bowl out here in Pasadena. Not quite New Year's Eve, but New Year's afternoon as we record here, just ahead of this one. And a lot of excitement out here, Travis, for sure. I know I'm expecting this to be a close one.
Yeah, I always wonder about the games out there, the Rose Bowls, when they're not the traditional Pac-12 Big Ten matchups of so many years past. Because even that national championship game with Texas and Alabama that we were out there for in January of 2010 just didn't seem all that excited. Now, you do have a Big Ten member in this one, so maybe that helps from this perspective. I got to think, Chase, a lot of IU people are out there, and Alabama's always going to represent pretty well.
Alabama's definitely going to travel well. Talking about a little bit of rain for this one, Travis, it was actually brought up in the news conference this morning. So something to watch there. Certainly, that doesn't sound like it's going to be a terrible storm by any stretch of the imagination, but, could be some water on the turf.
Could be, but man, they do such an elite job these days of managing these fields and how they're able to get sod, old sod out, new sod in, get it firm and fast. I would still think it will be a very playable surface regardless of the weather situation, but we've also seen some rare instances where those things don't always come together as well as the field people would like them to. I hope it is. I mean, you don't want to see a situation where the field is the story unless it's just an absolute monsoon.
Right, no doubt about it. All right. Alabama defensively up against this IU offense. Travis, let's kind of look at that perspective on things really quickly. Obviously, Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback of the Hoosiers, leads the way, 33 touchdown passes on the year for him against an Alabama defense that's been pretty steady and pretty stout. Had some hiccups against the run early in the year. Obviously, Florida State and Georgia both over 200 yards on the ground against Alabama, but they straightened that problem out to a large extent over the course of the season. And IU leans on the running game. I think Fernando Mendoza needs a good running game in order for things to go smoothly for the IU passing game. They've got a couple of explosive backs in Hemby and Kalon Black really, to me, despite the fact that the quarterback's a Heisman winner, I think that's got to be Alabama's focus first, Travis, is stopping that run and making it one-dimensional.
Yeah, I've said it in the last couple of weeks. Indiana offensively reminds me of some earlier in the Saban era offenses at Alabama. Maybe some A.J. McCarron instead of Fernando Mendoza, although Mendoza, I would say, in terms of his ability to extend plays and keep things alive, probably a little more of a factor in that regard than A.J. was. But I go into this game like you. I think Indiana goes into this thinking, These backs in this run game are going to be able to get some things going perhaps very early against this Alabama defense. So that's where it's, I'm with you. It's going to start for Alabama right there in the middle. Tim Keenan, you know, can he be the problem that he's been throughout this season for this Indiana offense? If he can, you get LT Overton back, James Smith, the different pieces that they have up front. I go back to the edges. With this defense and this approach, I'm sorry, I'm always going to have some concerns about perimeter runs or perimeter issues and edge setting first and foremost, because I still think from time to time, and we even saw this against Oklahoma, where formationally before the snap, Alabama is not in a great spot before the ball is snapped, you know, the opposing offenses. But yeah, I mean, you know, Indiana's offense too, it's interesting from a splits perspective, because you look at third down conversions, they look very good, 56% or so. But against the three ranked opponents that they face, they were more like 40% on third down. When you look at red zone conversions for touchdowns for this Indiana offense against the Iowas and the Oregons and the Ohio States in the Big Ten championship game, they were around 50% touchdown rate, 60% touchdown rate. So if Alabama can keep it to something like that defensively and put more of it on Mendoza and those receivers, who, by the way, are very capable. You know, those Becker, Surratt, getting Cooper back healthy, it sounds like. It's not a one-trick pony, though, either, is it?
No, it's not. And I think the Alabama secondary against that Indiana receiving core is really going to be a fun matchup. But yeah, I mean, you shut down the run if you're Alabama, you make Mendoza sit in that pocket and beat you in some third and longs. Maybe you catch a penalty here, maybe you catch a turnover there. Next thing you know, it's the third quarter and you're sitting pretty defensively. Flip side of things, though, Travis, Alabama offense against the Indiana defense. IU obviously very, very tough in that regard. Good line of scrimmage team. Your thoughts on where Alabama's offense is sitting health-wise and otherwise going into this one?
Yeah, as much as we talk about the Indiana offense and we get into maybe the splits not telling the whole story in terms of quality of competition, really, for the Indiana defense, from start to finish to this point, they've been lights out. You know, third downs, touchdown, opponent touchdown conversion in the red zone. It really hasn't mattered who they played. They've done a really good job in that regard. So tackles for loss, staying out of negative plays, continuing to do a much improved job in terms of minimizing penalties compared to a year ago. I think that's kind of where I start with the Alabama offense. I'm not expecting this sort of outburst from the run game, but I think there is some intrigue there because you sound like you're going to have a guy like Kevin Riley available at least for the first time in quite a while at the running back position. And just staying out again, those negative plays, penalties behind the sticks, and protect protect Ty Simpson. I think that's where it's going to have to happen because, again, I don't expect Alabama to run the ball for 200 yards. But, you know, if they run it for 100-plus and they're able to take pretty good care of Ty and allow these receivers and Josh Cuevas to kind of do their thing, I think they've got a chance to, you know, stay on the field and score enough to win this game.
On the defensive side of the ball for IU, Travis, some injury news. Obviously, looks like they're going to be without Stephen Daly, one of their top pass rushers. I think he's got 5.5 sacks on the season, which I believe is second on the team. Also, Kellen Wyatt looks like he won't be available either. What kind of impact do you see that having on this Indiana defense, Travis?
It's kind of like the Indiana offense. You know, you think about, they've got three or four wide receivers that are all capable of being problematic. Collectively, they are better, I'd say, than any of their individual pieces. Really speaks to their football team in general, I think, when you look at Indiana. So, yeah, I think for Daly, I mean, you're talking about 19 tackles for loss, and you can kind of go through and nitpick that and say, well, you know, how many of those came against Purdue or, you know, other type of opponents? That's still some impressive production. So I think both these quarterbacks too, I think Ty You know, if he gets off of his first guy, how efficient is he going to be once he moves to that second option? Mendoza, to me, is kind of like John Mateer in watching him. If you can get him off that first guy, he's probably going to default more to his legs to try to extend or get what he can get out of plays that way. So I think that'll be a challenge for both these defenses, really. But it seems like both the defenses have the same thought process in mind. And that's first and foremost, do as good a job against the run. And even though one of these quarterbacks is a Heisman Trophy winner, and both of them you're seeing in the first round of 2026 NFL mocks, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? You get the feeling that both these defenses want these elite type of quarterbacks to have to win the game.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's big for Simpson. I mean, we saw, I mentioned this, I think, on our last pod. I think we saw a different Ty Simpson in the second half against Oklahoma, pretty much the midseason Ty Simpson is what I saw. And you know, if you can protect him, there's every chance you get that all over again from him. And if you do, then Alabama's in good shape. Surprisingly, you know, they've won their share of games without running the ball. There's no question about it. They really just haven't run it all year. But, you know, Jam Miller's had some recovery time. Obviously, he's been kind of beat up all season long, so big for him. Another 10 days for Josh Cuevas Travis, who was already back against OU, but you would think now he's really back, right? At least maybe a little bit closer to 100% for him. You know, on the offensive line as well, healed up a little bit. So all that bodes well, I think, for Alabama offensively. And, you know, the Ryan Williams question just has to keep coming up, though, Travis. Yeah. And it's a little bit of a broken record, but you can't ignore it. Is he a big part of this offense in this game or not? Based on what we've seen recently, you'd have to say no, because it's been a minute, right, since he's really kind of been the centerpiece of things. And yet you put him on the field for 40-50 snaps knowing that he's the most explosive athlete you got out there.
Yeah, he's still a guy that can impact things, even with a pretty forgettable sophomore campaign to this point. You still have to respect him. Now, it will be interesting, because it was kind of the Lottie Brooks coming out party in Norman. So how, if any, does that impact Indiana in its approach? And if it does, if it sways Indiana more towards 17, that could be beneficial to Ryan Williams. And to really be a part or have a place in this game, you got to be in the plan. And that's what I keep going back to with Ryan Williams. When I watch Alabama offensively right now, it is schemed up in a way where it just doesn't seem like he's really a part of the plan, snap in and snap out. I mean, what would the chances have been that we would look at a game like this in, well, January 1st, and say there are six other receivers in this game that have a good chance of being more central to the outcome than Ryan Williams? I'm talking about three guys for Indiana and three guys for Alabama, if you talk about Jermy Bernard, Isaiah Horton, and now Lottie Brooks. Right. And then the three guys that we talked about for Indiana. I mean, it's hard to fathom that Ryan Williams might be sixth or seventh on that list in terms of importance tomorrow.
No doubt. And you're right in terms of his general involvement. I mean, the targets have been down, right? Didn't get targeted at all against Auburn, as a matter of fact. We have seen Grubb, I think, try to keep Williams a little bit involved with a rush here and there, but that's not anything they're really emphasizing with him either. At least with not a lot of frequency.
Do you think Alabama goes into this game thinking in terms of athletic advantage, perhaps? How that might impact how Ryan Grubb is going to dial this up and maybe being more perimeter based, try to get the quick game going, even if it just entails quick throws to guys in motion and in the flat, you know, get Jermy Bernard lined up in the backfield, maybe more, maybe even hand it to him like we've seen this season. Is that what you're anticipating for the Alabama offense tomorrow, Chase, in terms of Indiana, I think, thinks that they can win this thing between the tackles or have a big impact on the game between the tackles. Do you think it's pretty much outside the hash marks for Alabama? Because that was a real benefit to UA and Norman when they really started to focus on the outside with the deeper passes down the perimeter and then also the sort of slot fades that they were able to hit to Lottie Brooks.
Yeah. I think we'll see an early screen from Alabama. I do think we're going to see him test IU with the quick game a little bit. Maybe that does mean you're testing the corners early. You know, it's interesting. We heard Brian Grubb, whenever it was a week or so ago, talking about that big catch that Jeremy Bernard made over the top in the Oklahoma game. And he said, yeah, we ID'd that corner, a backup who had come in, wanted to go after him. He was very open and candid about that. So, you know, in terms of things that they're looking for, game planning, maybe if one of these corners or a safety or somebody looks like easy pickings for Ryan Grubb, then you maybe look for some of that too.
I guess also what I'm asking is, does Indiana look to you like maybe a little Wisconsin-ish on the back end, or maybe at the corner position specifically? That we've seen in the past, Alabama have that type of success against.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Not the biggest guys at corner, I guess.
Not the biggest guys at corner. And, you know, maybe it's an Isaiah Horton, speaking of which, you know, in a red zone situation, kind of like we saw in the Auburn game. Maybe that's his window to maybe be the guy that impacts things the most if it's not Brooks or Bernard.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But Bernard's been so important to this Alabama offense. And we've seen a little bit less of Bernard too at times these last few games, just in terms of presence and targets and things like that. I think Bernard's got to be central to your plan in this one, Travis.
I agree. I think it can't just be one type of guy game like it was against Oklahoma. I think you're going to need two or three, and Quavis factors into that too, which is a real, real positive sort of, you know, thing that's happened here in the last few weeks. A guy to break his foot around, you know, mid to late season and then get back for the playoffs, and not only get back, but he was impactful in that game against Oklahoma. I think he's going to have to be to kind of just slow this Indiana defense down a little bit, because they like to get after you. I'm not talking so much just in terms of the numbers that they'll always bring, but just sort of their approach. They like to play in front. You know, they like to make plays on everything in front of them. Alabama kind of does that too defensively. So that goes back to some discipline things, some intangibles for this Alabama team, with an emphasis maybe more so on the defense, because, you know, Indiana's offensive staff has seen how you can influence some of these guys. We saw it against Oklahoma on the touchdown pass to Burks against Red Morgan there in the red zone. Discipline is going to be a big thing. You can't come out to me defensively as sloppy as you did in terms of tackling and angles and all of those things fundamentally like you did against Oklahoma and tomorrow, and expect to get down 17-0 and come back against this Indiana team.
No, definitely not. You couldn't do that. It was, I mean, look what it took to come back against OU. Right. I mean, between a pick six, a block punt, I mean, it takes a little craziness to get out of a hole that deep. And you're not always going to get the crazy bounce to go your way when you're down like that. So definitely got to get off to a much faster start if you're Alabama. How about the special teams end of things for Alabama right now, Travis? What are you seeing from Talty and Dowd and coverage units, et cetera?
Hey, you're feeling good after the Oklahoma game, but I think you take a sort of tepid approach to that, because there's enough of a sample size through 14 games now to still have concerns about Alabama in the kicking game. You know, you look at Indiana, field goal kicking wise, they've been nearly perfect. Did have a miss on a chippy against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Indiana does not punt the ball well, kind of like Alabama, not especially great when it comes to punting the football. So I go into this one just thinking, just play it even in special teams. But perhaps it does take something like what we saw at Oklahoma to get this Alabama team over the hump, something unexpected, maybe some help from Indiana in the kicking game. You know, in a close game, that obviously can be the difference.
Connor Talty, of course, as we've talked about, seemingly more effective when not at Bryant-Denny Stadium. He doesn't have to worry about that the rest of the year, right?
No. I mean, it's just a college football playoff quarterfinal. You know, there's nothing on the line here, but at least it's not played at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Yeah, he's been better of late for sure anywhere but Tuscaloosa.
Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, want to thank our listeners and viewers. Wish you a happy new year for sure here on Talking Tide. And ask you if you could to contribute to Parker Covers Alabama, a 501c3 nonprofit supporting wheelchair to Alabama residents. You can do it at parkercoversalabama.com. The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, Travis, what else do we need we hit on here, Alabama-wise, if anything, before we jump into some of these other matchups that that have our attention?
Yeah, I think we're pretty well set on Alabama-Indiana. I think narratives are always a big part of a game like this. It seems to me like, and I know you and your colleague there at the Tuscaloosa News already have your predictions in, so I'm not talking out of school here. Sure. When I say that you've picked Alabama, I think Colin Gay also picked, your colleague picked Alabama in the game. But boy, nationally, it's not just Indiana being the pick, good bread. It's Indiana big in more than a couple of corners. It's just an sort of interesting difference there between a lot of what you're hearing nationally and then maybe what is a little bit more there closer to it and boots on the grounds, I guess.
I think the 7.5, and I don't know if you could still, you could definitely get 7. You could get 7.5 yesterday. I think today, most places it fell to 7, but still, yeah. I think 7.5 is a strong underdog play for Alabama there. I have no doubt about it.
Wow. Well, you've been out there. And I think that's where the national hot takers, you know, they don't really have that sort of, they haven't even made the effort really to kind of see where the health of the two teams is. You know, guys like Stephen Daly out for IU. Now I get it. Cooper should be healthier from a receiver perspective for the Hoosiers. And that helps for sure. But Alabama just, it's weird because we think of these long seasons now, right? And how it's a war of attrition and how there's really only a detriment to a team. What we don't think about is there can be a positive aspect to all of it. If you can stay alive long enough, you can get guys back, you know, right, before the end of the season. And that's sort of been the lesson for me in this. It may not matter tomorrow. You know, Indiana still may get the job done and get the job done convincingly. But I guess because of seasons like 2021, where Alabama, by the time it got to Indianapolis and early in that game, lost Jamison Williams against Georgia, just felt like the season caught up with Alabama, ran out of players. Now it feels like, you know, Alabama has made a pit stop with, you know, 4 laps to go and put on 4 new tires and is good to go for the final 4 laps.
Speaking of that, I chatted up with Kevin Riley for a little bit on media day and was asking him about that jaw situation. He was eating soup and mashed potatoes for a month. He's back, good to go. We really didn't mention him coming back to the offense. Be interesting to see if the Alabama coaching staff works him into the backfield rotation or not, given that he has been off for a few games and Hill has kind of emerged all the more.
Yeah, he was on that Jake Paul diet, sounds like, with the Campbells. Oof. And the probably not even homemade mashed potatoes either. So that's never a good thing. But again, he's a prime example. I mean, LT Overton a week or two ago, we didn't know if we'd ever even see him again, you know, and here he is ready to go in the quarterfinals. So across the board, I just don't think that last availability report could have been any better for Alabama going into this game. As I said earlier, it may not matter. Who knows? But I certainly have a lot more confidence in Alabama based on that than I did even going into the game against Oklahoma, especially because you were in a true road environment. And we've heard Cignetti in the last couple of days, not happy with how the transition from Bloomington out west is necessarily gone. Now, he may just be coaching his team, you know, through the media or whatever. Who knows? He learned from the best, I would think, when it comes to that. But just from the Alabama perspective, I feel better going into the game about Alabama than I did a couple of weeks ago in that first round matchup.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, he was spitting fire for a pregame head coach's, you know, grip and grin photo op press conference. He brought it up like three different times, Travis, this travel. It was kind of woe is me stuff a little bit, I thought, you know.
Yeah.
But he did mention, yeah, Alabama's got to travel too. But DeBoer, you know, DeBoer, cool as a cucumber about all that.
Yeah. Well, DeBoer's been there, done it, you know. Yeah. I mean, he's gone from, well, he went from Seattle, Washington to New Orleans, you know, to play in a game. And then followed that up, I think, with a trip to Dallas, I think it was, for a national championship matchup. So, it doesn't seem – Kalen, I like the demeanor. I like the demeanor of this football team going into the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I've picked them by three. I think they're going to – and I kind of saw it I've been saying for a minute that they matched up better with IU than some of these other teams in the playoff, Oklahoma included, frankly. Right now I think they've got a good matchup opportunity as well. Speaking of matchups, Travis, elsewhere around the CFP really quickly, what about, let's see, Ohio State, Miami, and then of course Texas Tech, Oregon, Georgia, Ole Miss, all that going down tomorrow along with the Alabama game.
Yeah, fun game tonight. I would think out in Arlington with the lines of scrimmage first and foremost for Ohio State and Miami, and it could be a tough night for both offensive lines in this one. So I'm not sure how many points they're going to score in Ohio State and Miami. I think. I say this, and Fletcher for Miami just absolutely torched A&M on the ground. So who knows? I mean, he may be on a heater, and it may not come down to the quarterbacks. But if it does, even though Carson Beck has the decided advantage in terms of experience, I still like Julian Sayin in that one. You know, Julian Sayin in the big stage matchup against Indiana, I'm not going to say he was great, but he strikes me as a guy, especially with the guys he has to work with, at the wide receiver position, two of the very best in college football. I like the diversity, perhaps, of Ohio State on offense, maybe a little bit more. Malachi Toney, though, of Miami, is one of my very favorite players in college football, the playmaker for UM, and, you know, he can change things quickly, too.
He can. You make a good point. This could be low scoring. Could be too low scoring. See it between Alabama, Indiana, and that one. 20 points could maybe win both those games.
Yeah, one of our viewers here, Tim Green, is chiming in. He says first to 24 wins Alabama, Indiana. I think he's kind of on that in terms of the potential of what it'll take to ring the bell out in Pasadena. Same thing with Miami and Ohio State. What about, talk about a weird game, the Orange Bowl with Oregon and Texas Tech. I mean, that's a weird Orange Bowl anytime you get that together. But in a college football playoff quarterfinal, that's a noon Eastern kick on New Year's Day before you get into Alabama, Indiana, and then Georgia, Ole Miss. What are your sort of expectations of the two games that we're going to see other than the Rose Bowl tomorrow?
Yeah, I got to like Georgia, Travis, but I I could see Ole Miss winning that game. I mean, that's a tough call, really, Georgia, Ole Miss. I'm going to go ahead and take Kirby in this one over all the goings on with Ole Miss and, you know, the coaching staff situation, which has just blown people's minds, I think, to a large extent. And look, you got past Tulane with all that mess going on. I get that, but
what about the Ole Miss NIL director chirping at Lane about poaching players? Maybe he is, but you know what? I don't think the NIL director had as much of a problem with it when Lane was doing it for Ole Miss. Now it's a problem.
Right.
Now
right.
It's a problem. Wait a minute, Lane. This is way out of line. You think Lane just got his ethics in the last 2 weeks, pal?
Exactly.
This is too much. Too much. You know? What do you think Lane was doing at Ole Miss?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Pop me. Cry me a river, Walker.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. What about I think Ole Miss Georgia, that's kind of like a basketball matchup. You know, that's kind of like Alabama against an Ivy League in terms of, you know, Alabama against Pete Carril Princeton back in the day with Nate Oates at Alabama. Styles make fights.
Yeah.
And you know, Ole Miss wants to get this thing outside of the corners. They don't want to get caught in the corners because they'll get absolutely mauled by the slugger and the mauler in Georgia. They want to stay, you know, at arm's length, land some jabs, shoot some rights every once in a while. That's going to be the big part. That's going to be the key for me for Ole Miss and Georgia. Who can get the style of fight that they want in that one?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Georgia wants to win that thing between the hashes, and Ole Miss is going to win it outside the hashes pretty much.
Yeah.
Although Kewon Lacy, he can do a lot of damage up the middle. He can do anything as a back. Mm-hmm. He's not just a scat. No. You know, he's not just a guy that's going to hurt you on the perimeter.
Reminds me of Darren McFadden a little bit. Reminds me of, if you want to go way back, there's some Bobby Humphrey. I see in that guy with his body type, and you know, Humphrey could do it catching it too now back in the day. And Lacy's that kind of back too. And I think you're right. He did have a couple of touchdowns in that first matchup against Georgia, but in terms of scrimmage yards, he wasn't a hugely effective guy. I think he's going to have to be more of that to go along with Chambliss at the quarterback position.
All right, I think that is going to wrap things up here on the Talking Tide podcast. For Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, coming to you from Pasadena. Looking forward to covering this game. And, of course, Travis and I will have a wrap-up pod in the days following. For Travis, I'm Chase. We'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tide.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.